Do we?
Shall we begin? Is that
yeah, going? Yeah, we're all okay. Going. We're all okay.
I like how you've got your watch here.
It's, yeah.
Beep. Beep. Timing it. Beep. And here is the theme tune.
Yeah,
it's
the theme tune times.
We can still talk.
Is there any of them? Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Time over
to
you
and mine,
actually.
So do I. A minute and a half.
I was reading all sorts of different lines. But that's irrelevant right now because we're back in the room, I think. Oh, you're thinking we're back. Welcome to the Crescent, a celebrity gossip podcast. I can never say that without thinking about it. Episode
90.
You almost have to say a number, man. I never remember that either.
No, I get loads of time to think about it because you're talking.
Making sure you get the showing off podcast.
Well, you have the eye on the thing, and then when it says that.
I want to say that first, yeah. We're back in the room. I like saying that, yeah. It's my turn to speak first. Yep.
So, welcome to our amazing lives.
And welcome to our amazing guest.
Our amazing guest, whose name is Joneslyn Transatlantic Airways.
Yeah, that's about right. Well, I'll accept that as an answer.
The short version of the name.
What's your real name?
Well, it metamorphosed from Joneslandic to Joneslandic Airways to Joneslandic Airways, and then it was just at the moment it's my alternate between Joneslandic, Jonesland, and Airways. So whichever you feel free to.
Where does that come from?
A long drunken night with someone's friend from Preston, and it just basically sort of metamorphosed from a misreading of my name, and then a mispronouncing of my name, and then just basically a misconception of it all. It's just a gigantic mess.
It turned out more of a fun name.
You know, I like to think that that it's ultimately the more is the better. You know,
yeah,
the big one.
It can be ever changing as well. I think there's always more for it to change into. I reckon if you've got.
I don't revolve. I evolve, and etc. It's
right. What's on the cover of these delicious gossip magazines?
Wow.
You start.
Obsessed with weight loss. That's a new one. New topic.
Who knew?
Amy Childs from TOEI. Kim Kardashian.
Mm-hmm. Of the Kardashians.
The Kardashians. I don't really know about
the LA
really,
Kardashians.
I don't really know who the fuck they are.
La Kardashian.
No one fucking does. That's the
thing. Like, how do they get. Everyone just keeps talking about them, and it's like, well.
The dad's a lawyer in LA that apparently got OJ off, and then.
Oh, is that where they come from?
Yeah, that's
what
they're.
What? From. Is that it? I thought they were like.
Models
rich for something good.
I thought they were actresses.
So they owned loads of stuff and were like a big American man. He's just a fucking.
Yeah, the dad's a lawyer, yeah, I think.
He's a mega lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay.
Johnny Cochran, but like, you know, not.
Who's Johnny Cochran?
The other guy that got OJ off.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's now dead. Carry on.
And, well, yeah, she's obsessed with weight loss, as well as The Only Way is Essex and Gemma, that one.
One? I was working in an office today and I heard someone talking about that Gemma had lost loads of weight.
She's still a bit fat though.
That's what they said. Oh, she's lost ever so much weight. Yeah. Still fat though.
I bet she's got hanging skin. You know when someone really fat loses loads of weight.
But she's got a fucking massive head. You can't. There's no chance of her being a thin bird ever.
Because her head's too big.
Give it up and have a cake, you daft bitch.
So
I think that's what she had done for ages, but then she got shunned by an old man on The Only Way Is Essex.
Yeah.
He didn't want to go
so
out.
So by definition...
I made you a pie!
Oh, you no frame of reference here.
No, I was just saying that, like,
you know... That lady made the other fat man a pie.
If she has a fat head, but the body is thin, you still can't call her thin.
No. That's the thing. It's like her head's so massive and fat.
Is she one of those people that will always be fat inside, no matter how thin she gets?
Yeah. But she's not even going to get that thin. Look, if you look...
You watch, Crispin. You watch.
Fuck off. Look at the size of her arm.
She's
that's
got
like the size of me, her arm.
It's a bit unfair. It's about the size of my arm.
Bugger off. It's got a massive arse.
Actually, yesterday or the other day before when I was running in boot camp, I was running or doing a sprint, and maybe it was the way that my sports bra was pinching my upper arm or something like that, but I heard an unfortunate flapping of bingo wing into other skin, and it was making a noise as I ran along, and I thought I really need to work on my tricep. It might just be age. I don't think I'm overly fat. It's just a bit of age, and you know.
But you're not fat. You're not like Gemma fat. Jesus, she's massive.
Not anymore. She's not. Look at her there. Looks like me with my workout clothes. Anyway, let's get off this subject. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
All right.
Cher Lloyd, friend. I don't even know who she is, but she's friendless, lonely, and struggling with fame. It's like she's not actually famous.
Bless.
Therein lies the struggle.
Mum's on the edge. Danielle, I cry when I think about my baby. Let's not take the piss out of that until we know why.
Yeah.
We've been caught by that before. Good jokes on the front page. Turn into the magazine. Find out something really tragic makes you feel like I can't.
Yeah.
Alex, not being at home with Stephen has been a nightmare. And I'm not finished. Natalie, I'm devastated as in Adam hasn't seen Eliza recently.
I follow that up with Closer is always on the edge as well, so there's a lot of edge happening this week, as most of the other weeks I'd imagine as well. Mum of four, Patsy, wow, I'm so proud of my body. Other people might not be.
So you're in trumpet.
Yeah, exactly. Well, she's gone from a size 12 to 14 to a size 10, which is almost imperceptible from this picture here. That's evidently something to be proud of by the wow. Jordan has gone into a meltdown.
Again.
Jealous, rages, locks herself away for hours.
She's been melted for ages.
Oh, dear.
She's like a chocolate fountain.
There's just no help for her.
She may well just be permanently molten. Is that the condition? And Danielle has apparently got baby agony. Again, we won't touch that. It's tearing me apart. Let's assume that's something emotional. But I'll stay strong for my boys.
Good on you. Let's dwell no more. Right.
Right, then.
Inside.
So this obsessed with the losing weight thing. Look. There she is. Jumping around with all her flab. That's not very... I don't know why you'd ever do that.
Shit off.
Why would you do that? Why would you wear that? You don't have any pride if you are sporting a large belly and still decide to wear cycling shorts and a crop top as you jump with a skipping
rope. But they make her do it though, don't they?
Probably.
They say, if you go out and wear these clothes, we take a picture of you trying to have a skip.
Yeah.
Thumping a big hole in the park, then oh well, that's embarrassing. There's my phone.
Oh, we just do this.
The 70s are calling.
Apparently. Who was it calling me?
Rich is ringing.
Yeah, shut up.
Edit that bit out.
Oh yeah, probably. Rachel, we're doing the podcast. You can listen to it later.
Okay.
What are we talking about?
This woman of the only way is Essex. Anyway, she says she's sick of being the fat bird. And she knows she really wants to do well on the next series of The Only Way Is Essex. She says, or someone else says, one of her pals probably says, Gemma knows that she has the personality to be one of the main The Only Way Is Essex girls.
She's fucking irritating.
This is the source, and now she wants to look the part too. Along with intensive workouts, Gemma has turned to non-invasive plastic surgery style treatments to fight the. What does that mean?
Non-invasive
plastic surgery style treatments.
Airbrushing.
Yeah. Basically, yeah, the long and the short of it, I'm sure. I don't know, they don't really go into much explanation. Anyway, earlier this year, Gemma revealed how being dumped by her boyfriend in 2001 caused her to comfort eat and put on 6 stone. It's 2011, that's 10 years of comfort eating. It's a lot of time.
I think if she could have put her mind to it, she could have put on a lot more than that.
Yeah. Except she wasn't trying hard enough.
Yeah.
Maybe there were periods of different levels of comfort, you know.
What did you say again? 2001? A decade.
decade of carpet eating.
I reckon I could get that fat in 12 months.
What, you could put on a stick of stone in 12 months?
Yeah, is that not possible?
Probably not for you.
Well, I retract that statement. Regret bringing it up. Oh no, it's an aggressive fucking voicemail, isn't it? It's just going to go on forever.
No, it's Rachel Stringer again.
Oh, right.
Right. Anyway, but Amy's doing it too. And she is not. She doesn't really need to. Amy from The Only Way Is Essex.
Oh, right.
She doesn't really need to do it, but she's still doing it. So that's fine. I think she just likes being photographed pounding the streets with her.
Genuinely attractive body.
Yeah. Mm. Exactly. Anyway.
Oh, I'm so fat.
Oh, but she's going to be on the Doomed Before It Starts Channel 5 version of Celebrity Big Brother, which starts this week, I think. She's going to be on that.
That's good, isn't it?
That's the reason not to watch it. Moving on.
Here is everyone's tits. Lovely double page spread. It says papped, but really it's just pictures of everyone's tits, apart from Shane Warne.
Kate Moss doesn't have any tits to take pictures of.
Kate Moss, look at her.
Well, there they are, look, the
old tits in midair. Mm. I think that's rather nice.
There's not really much tit.
There isn't really, is there? To be fair.
When you say old tits, just the old manifestation of her tits, or the fact that she's old?
The fact that she's old. She's not really old, though. How old is she, like 40 or something?
Old enough that she should be getting her tits out.
Only 6 years older than you.
I might look that up on Wikipedia. Kirk Norcross's new bird, massive tits.
Massive actual...
The ones that look like they hurt.
Yeah, they do. They look like they're about to burst constantly, which is really upsetting.
Lauren Pope should look away now. Here's her ex-boyfriend, TOWIE star Kirk, hitting the town with a new woman.
He does go out with some funny-looking girls, doesn't he? Do you know what I mean? Like, with funny faces. That Lauren one had a well funny face.
Yeah, she did. And this one just has an unbelievable amount of blush. She's made of plastic,
that's all. Which is not a bad thing. Plastic can be moulded into an attractive shape.
This is an interesting thing about the tits double spread. There's a picture of Jerry Halliwell jogging around. You can see her tits there a bit. They're holstered in an aggressive bra. But there's also Rihanna. She's got, I would say, 38% of her tits out here.
I thought you were about to guess her cup size then, and I was about to not be impressed with you the way that you were like, oh, I reckon she's 36, got it. 36.
No, but look, in my look at the two pictures together.
Yeah.
And I'm not a racialist or nothing, but who's more black? Jerry Halliwell is just about the same colour, I think. Maybe a bit darker.
She's got a fake tan on, and Rihanna's mixed race. Surely, isn't she? She must be, because she's got lighter, dark skin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and Jerry Halliwell, is your point there, Jerry Halliwell is wearing a lot of fake tan?
I know, the point is it's just that looks like the same. Look, if I fold the thing over, that's the same. Look, see, look, if I fold that over there, that's darker, isn't it?
It's darker, I'd say that
Halliwell's probably got... The darker than the black lady. Should we leave this?
Yeah, I think I just... Yeah.
Look at Jerry's belly though. That's worrying.
Well, she has had a kid, so I'll give her that one. I'll allow her that problem.
Allow it. I have the exclusive
or possibly not exclusive of
they always are exclusives when they say.
It hasn't said, so I'm assuming that it's non-exclusive, so there you go. Despite appearing to have it all, unhappy and insecure, Jordan's moody behaviour could drive toy boy Leandro Panna away. Now, this is an interesting story that Jordan is apparently a little bit mental. There she is leaving the airport with her boyfriend, apparently in non-marital bliss. So the copy goes, even though she has a multi-million pound fortune, a model toy boy and a number one book, comma. Unhappy Jordan has told pal she feels empty and lost. Now, this is a very interesting story about basically Jordan being unfulfilled. That's fine. But what I was very intrigued by was the fact that Leandro is at the end of a tether with her. Fine, fair enough. But this is a little nugget here. His English is improving, comma, and he's beginning to understand what she says and how weird her behaviour is. So Leandro is apparently not with Jordan for her brains.
No.
She's taking herself away and is only surfacing for work, apparently, so...
Absolutely, maybe
once
yeah.
a week.
Yeah. The frailty of the celebrity.
And there's a nice little sort of like, there's a nice sort of you know, left-hand corner squirreling away article here about Alex and Chantel being so in love, and the whole article is actually brought back to the reality by her mum Amy saying she's stopped behaving herself and not just shouting because she's in a bad mood. So a perspective there from Jordan's mum Amy. But altogether, Jordan's actually looking pretty good. I would, you know, best in years, maybe, perhaps. It's maybe because her boyfriend can't actually understand her in both ways of the word.
So I think that's lovely.
It's actually quite a, you know, from a story that went from potential danger to redemption in a space of a page. It was wonderful, really. Quite moved.
Heartwarming. Heartwarming tale. This isn't so heartwarming. Well, I actually thought this was going to be something different from what it was, so I got the wrong end of the stick, and my comments were from the wrong end of the stick. I thought Ashley Cole and Cheryl Cole had got back together. Well, Cheryl, whatever her name is. What's her real name? Cheryl...
Tweedy,
of course. I thought they got back together, so when I read Ashley's ban on sexy singletons... He's hounded by gorgeous girls wherever he goes, but Ashley Cole's hired an SAS minder to keep them at bay, hoping to impress Cheryl. Whatever happened to just being faithful or something, that would be all right, wouldn't it? But, you know,
or
yeah.
Don't hiring know. An Ashley Cole to impress Cheryl and be yeah. around with her rather than an SAS minder.
Exactly. He's forking out £1,000 a day to have an SAS-trained minder following his every move and keep girls keen for a night of passion with him at bay. One of the main reasons he has a new minder is because he knows he needs protection from predatory girls.
Oh,
blow
bless.
Your own bloody trumpet, mate. And to be saved from himself. As he knows that if he's let loose on female fans on his own, he might repeat the same old mistakes. And he doesn't want to be exposed in kiss and tells that will mess things up for good with Cheryl. Well, what the fuck? Like, oh my God. Anyway, but actually it turns out that they're not actually together, so I can't understand the story a bit more. I thought it was actually that they got back together and he hired a special unit to stop him from shagging someone else. So I was like, what?
I can't be trusted, Cheryl. I've bought my own minder.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got a taser. Yeah. If I get my dick out, it tasers yeah. me.
I want it to work between us, so I've hired someone to stop me from having sex with anyone else. Oh my God. Anyway, I like this picture of him. I'm sure it's just like a drunken picture or something, but he does look like a heroin addict who's going through withdrawal symptoms or something. He looks like he's in cold sweats and doesn't, yeah.
We had a smack addict come up to us in the pub earlier
yeah.
with a good news story.
Which is what?
I'm a diabetic and my blood sugar's really low. Have you got some money so that I can buy a chocolate bar?
Clever, that's a new take. At least it's a minty.
Pete said, do you want this biscuit? He said, no.
If he was really desperate, there was a bottle of ketchup actually he could have gone for, which would have totally solved
yeah.
his problem.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's cool, right. Story. Sometimes heroin is not the best life choice. Alex Reid, yeah, hopping on from your last story, Alex Reid and Chantel Houghton.
I don't think she'd be fussy about how you pronounce it.
Please,
you know, that sort of person.
Poison. A bit came out. Yeah. Welcome to their amazing lives. There's a lovely 5 pages of them in bed, but they're not actually in bed. Well, they're on bed. Talking a great big interview. Must have taken ages.
Why is she wearing a one piece? She got a bit fat, has she?
Oh yeah, a wee bit, look.
Some mm-hmm. rolls there.
Mm-hmm.
You can see them right there, yeah.
Yeah. And she's embracing the curves, I see.
Yeah, embracing these ones. Look at the size of those bad boys.
Yeah, those are fake though, aren't they?
Yeah.
She hasn't done since she came out with Big Brother.
Yeah, New says, you look great in bed together. Is that how you spend most of your time these days? Alex, colon, well, I don't like to spend a sunny day indoors, but we have done because we've been tired. Chantel, yeah, really tired. Giggles in square brackets.
Oh my god.
Alex, it's a shame to waste a day, but if you're going to spend a day in bed, spend it with a sexy girl. Chantel says, aww. Chantel, has Alex ever made you breakfast in bed? He always asks me, but I never want anything.
Oh god.
Alex, that's you're not a breakfast person.
No, Chantel, that's what you tell your boyfriend when he's best going
out.
You
bring me tea in bed, though. You'd make me breakfast in bed if I wanted, wouldn't you? All day long. You made my bed the other day. That was lovely. Aww. The fuck?
All day long, you ever... I mean, you wouldn't, though, would you? I mean, 7 p.m. at night. Yeah. Another bacon and eggs. All right, fine.
Yeah.
Bit worrying.
Been in bed all day. Fucking. What do you fancy? A big fry up in bed.
No, they've never said they're fucking, they've just said in bed.
Yeah, that's a true story. They
just kissing and cuddling.
Yeah.
They're not even married yet.
Well, how do you spend your time together as a couple? What do you think? Aside from that. Well, Alex says, well, I've introduced her to superhero films. Chantel says, I want to be the girl from the film Kick-Ass. Alex, she likes to watch movies that I want to watch. I've never really had that before.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
I want to stop talking about that now.
I think it was funny. It was funny for the time. I don't think we need to continue. It doesn't need a joke made about it. It's funny in itself.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Well, okay, I've as per the cover...
Patsy Palmer,
who is... full of contradictions in the worst possible way, or maybe the best possible way. So Patsy Palmer was previously, according to this article, a massive size 14. As you can see by the picture here, she is, I mean, fat, round, and massive on the ground. Palmer. I mean, Lord, I mean, she's taking up the whole page just by the
boat. That's absurd that anyone should exist.
They have to keep it in perspective. And so they have to have at least half a page. They can't squash it. It will look daft. And lo and behold, she has lost her baby weight the healthy way, which of course is by not eating. And
I hope to buy the DVD about that. I don't know about you guys.
So in the sort of general narrative of the article, 39-year-old Patsy, who's lost two stone of the 2.5 she gained while pregnant, of course, half stone being a baby, showed off a flat tum on the beach with cab driver husband Richard Merkel and 8-month-old Bertie. Now, last month, Patsy was, Bertie. It's named after the licorice mascot. A size 12 to 14 claims Spanx pants were a lifesaver. Shock horror. I've lost my big weight a healthy way, slowly. Now, slowly. Slow is apparently a way to lose weight now, so that's fine. Curvier than I was, proud of my body. Curvier than I was, but proud of my body. However, my hips are wider, boobs are bigger. As you get older, it's nice to have some curves. There's at least half a stone of curves going somewhere here. But it's good to report that she's actually lost that. So she's proud of the things that are now gone. But that's okay as well, so it's fine.
Yeah,
it's more natural and womanly to lose weight and then gain it and lose it again.
I'm nodding, but I'm not keeping up.
Patsy Palmer now. Oh, the best thing about Patsy Palmer is she's got this like this horrid tattoo that apparently is going around the houses, which is the sort of like, I mean, one might even call it like, dare I say, the Chav constellation. It's like three stars and a increasing bigger size.
Oh yeah.
What is that? What
pointing at a Mimsy?
Yeah. And like, no doubt there's smaller stars down there that, you know,
my God,
there be dragons. Stars. But like, what is this tattoo? I see it everywhere. Well, I don't see it everywhere, but...
Are you suggesting it's the tramp stamp?
Well, isn't the tramp stamp normally at the base of one's spine?
Yeah. But this that's is a different type of one, maybe.
So this is the tramp applique, or whatever, you know, stamp, is
the vajazzle.
The vajazzle, yes, of course, yes. But anyway, so that's Patsy Palmer, doing fabulously.
Isn't she lovely? What a lovely lady. This is a lovely little lady I've got right here. This little sexy 6-year-old.
She is gorgeous.
Angela Baylor, who's clearly from America, has spent over £30,000 turning a little girl into a strutting, posing, pouting beauty queen.
It's funny because I thought she was at least 8.
Yeah. Would you?
Would I what? There are several things I would do. Condone it? No.
This is a sad story. We've seen all these documentaries and read all these stories before, but there's a couple of things that I thought were quite interesting in it. Not interesting, I don't know. Just to talk about it for a second. So she goes in all these competitions. She spends has hours having herself made into a big spray-tanned, nail-varnished, eyelashed, make-upped, weird doll.
Have they put nail varnish on her lips?
No, that's lip gloss. Actually, but a lip liner as well.
Wouldn't
she's got the lip liner around the outside to make her lips look fuller and more kissable. What were you going to say?
No, I was just saying that.
Isn't it horrific?
Maybe one can upgrade next year and use nail polish, thus, you know, making it more permanent.
Just tattoo it on. She says she won her first beauty pageant at just a year old. And since then, it has become a career.
A year?
Yeah. The schoolgirl has even had her own modelling coach, a former beauty queen, since the age of 3. Yet, despite criticism for sexualising her daughter, mum of 2, Angela, says she's delighted to fund Mariah's dream. It's her daughter's dream, not her own, of course.
Well, that was her first words,
Mummy, yeah. Being on stage has worked wonders for Mariah's confidence, explains the 41-year-old from Las Vegas. The swimwear round is where she really stands out. The judges can't take their eyes off her as she sashays across the stage in her bikini and does a little sexy wiggle and a pout. She makes me so proud. That paragraph was about Mariah's dream. What in that paragraph was doing wonders for Mariah's confidence and what she was turning her into?
Well, previously,
like
as a 2-year-old, I mean, you should have seen her. She was like the most unconfident, shy, retiring wallflower.
Sitting around in nappies, not really doing anything. She's pouting, being sexy.
It's like playing Jane Superbrain, isn't it, in Neighbours?
Yeah.
Except for a 2-year-old to a 4-year-old.
Then she says, to those who find her behaviour shocking, Angela was quick to deny that Mariah could be a target for paedophiles by posing suggestively in bikinis, insisting her outfits and routines are simply pageant glitz and glamour. I've seen some girls in costumes I wouldn't dream of putting Mariah in, even if she was 18. I wouldn't allow her to do anything too sexy. Her swimsuit covers everything. Observe said swimsuit. It's a tiny little bikini, and she's holding her hands suggestively over her little private area, a tiny little childlike private area like this.
She's covering it up.
It's really, really sick. Really sick. So that's, I think, probably, I don't think we need to really say anything more about that.
Something's just popped into my head. We might have to cut this bit out.
What?
But I was thinking that, you know, maybe there's something in that because, like a pedo doesn't want a child dressed up like a
grown up woman.
A grown up. You know, someone with a shoe fetish doesn't want a shoe dressed up not like a shoe, do they? Have I gone off on one?
No, that's good though, because like, there's a whole subgenre of porn that's shoe fetishes with, but actually no, not real shoe fetishes, like fake shoe fetish.
A fake shoe.
Yeah.
Like if he had,
that's something for everyone.
Yeah, if you just made a cardboard shoe and people wanked over it. Like as a safety net. No, I've gone mad.
That's good though, because I think child pageants are definitely the safety net.
What are you trying to say? Child pageants are deflecting paedophiles.
Because they're looking at that and they're thinking, oh no, actually it's a bit like a woman. Maybe I'll go and have sex with
maybe
a woman.
Maybe you should do an advert.
Instead of a child.
Maybe you should do
that.
That's actually the antidote, isn't it? It's like, well, maybe I will go and have sex with a woman.
Yeah,
see, there you go.
Maybe that's what they should be rabbiting on about.
Maybe you should do an advert.
Yeah.
Promoting child pageants.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I couldn't afford to put one on like on telly on that, but I'd probably save up enough to put one on at like Colchester Odeon. 25 quid or something. After the one for the curry house. I want to talk to you all about sorting out pedos. Now, look at this shoe. I've made this cardboard shoe and I've fixed this shoe fetish guy. Now he can't wank over nothing, not even this cardboard shoe. He's only going to have real sex with a wholesome Christian woman. It's fixed. Give us 10p. I've stopped.
And come around the corner. It's probably yeah. Round the corner, Nicole Strodian.
Right, well, let's say goodbye to Mariah and I hope the best for her in her life.
Yeah, I'm sure we all
Mariah.
Hope
that she doesn't Mariah grow up
really weird.
Funnily enough, the take-up rates for that weirdness is incredibly low in pageantry.
Yeah.
I think I'm sort of
problems.
Moving, yeah, I'm getting to problem time.
Do you have anything pressing?
Oh, there is some juicy stuff. I will say that. Tara Palmer Tomkinson is reputedly having a emotional crisis.
That's
yes.
A shock.
Look at this picture, though. Bloody, if pictures could speak, that is 1,001 words at least
about her personal crisis. Oh Jesus!
Look at that.
Tough times are off her face. Yeah, disgust.
I mean, you know, either someone's stuck 15 flashes in her face. But like, that's just inexcusable. So anyway, this is brilliant actually, though. This is priceless. She recently turned up to a hair salon barefoot while clutching a teddy bear and talking loudly. Yep, that's an emotional crisis. My moles, this is Katie Banks, her moles, she apparently has moles that, you know, obviously the non-cancerous variety, tell me her pals.
That was a thing like where, you know, when they have pals and a source said.
Yeah.
That actually
the
had, like, moles.
She does. I assume she does. Sorry, I was making a crass joke about skincare.
Oh, right.
It's all right. Sorry. She was pictured last week looking worse for wear, hence said photo. So people have linked this to, you know, people have made the, you know, 2 and 2 = 6 and thought that because she turned up barefoot to a hair salon, touching a teddy bear, that she might go through an emotional crisis. I think that's actually right. I mean, she looks like... Although in this picture where she is carrying a teddy bear, they have helpfully
denoted
as not a salon essential, which is quite a jibe, really. But you know,
yeah.
Ultimately, it may well be. You know, so yeah. So that's Tara's. I mean, that picture is.
She's quite old now, though,
and it's a bit like Iggy Pop.
Yeah, she's always been a bit of a muncher as well. She didn't have the best face to start with, really, and now she's old and has done a lot of cocaine, and probably drank a lot of booze. Probably smoked a lot of fags, you know. And has cameras stuck in her face a lot. It's not going to work out best, is it?
She's not even trying here. She's not even trying.
I reckon she's done loads more chance than Kerry Katona.
Of course she has, yeah. Kerry Katona can't afford it.
That's one of
the reasons. That's the only reason Kerry Katona stopped, because she ran out of money.
Yeah, pack off council.
Yeah, well...
Oh, look at that segue.
Is she going to be in Celebrity Big Brother? Hasn't she already been in it?
Yes, I think she's going to be in Celebrity Big Brother 2, the Kerry Katona Reckoning. She's panicked, apparently, at the thought of appearing in Big Brother... panicked at the thought of appearing in front of Celebrity Big Brother cameras, as well as coming face-to-face, dun-dun-dun, with ex-husband Brian McFadden.
Oh, is he going to be in it as well?
You know, I really hate it when they take these celebrities and they do this massive twist and, you know, lo and behold, they think they're going to get an easy ride and then, bang, it's your ex.
Oh, yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
But bear in mind, though, it's that, you know, it's a selection of exes from Kerry. She was told someone might pitch her to rattle her cage, but she assumed it would be another ex, such as, Dan Fodden, even Mark Croft, the list could go on.
Dan Fodden,
yeah. Mm-hmm. The Foddenator, yeah.
The Foddenator.
And Crofty. Mm. So, clearly...
Mark Crofty.
Clearly soiling her nest there as far as the exes go. Kerry should probably, like, stay on better terms with them. you know, worry less about Slow Your Brother.
Brian McFadden got one of them tattoos that ran all the way down his arm.
Yeah, it's writing. It apparently says, solutions... sometimes life breaks in mysterious ways.
Works.
No, it says breaks. I think it's confusing waves with life. Waves break, life happens.
Oh God, yawn.
Yeah.
Fancy having that written on your arm.
That Cher Lloyd has got something written on her arm. It's in here. It says, all that you have is your soul. Oh, it's quite depressing, actually.
but they're fundamentally wrong. I mean, like, all you have is your soul. I've got a shoes and shit. Like, other stuff.
Yeah.
And
got rum and coke right there. They're off their heads, aren't they?
So deep. I mean, apparently, this photograph indicates that he's actually, like, rolling his arm up to sort of bear his mantra at people, as if we're somehow to be like, hey, Brian, what do you think about this? My arm. Yeah. It says everything. Read that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Great. Well,
I think I'd be scared if I met him in real life.
Why?
Because he's got a massive face.
Massive head and face.
It's not even a funny shape. It's just like a normal face, but it's massive.
Well, look at his tan. Actually, he's got this like tan that actually the sun can't keep up with. There's so much.
Do you want to test it against Jerry Halliwell's one in this bag?
That's what you gotta do. Because like the bottom half is tanned. It's also got a beard, but like there's just not enough sun in the world to tan that forehead.
Right against that. Jerry's winning there.
Well, yeah, clearly.
Especially the forehead's a bit bright. The neck. No, she's still got it. Still got that one.
I'm sorry, Brian.
What time are we on? 36.
Okay.
Problem time.
Problem it up. Well, I bought, this week, IR bought Best.
I have
which
got
is
no
a Biddy's magazine. And you know it's a Biddy's magazine because it's got Pauline Quirk on the front. And it's got a little thing on the front saying, new miracle haircuts that turn back time. And it's got a picture of Helen McMirren looking her age with a new hair.
I wish I had a time travelling haircut.
And Fern Britton looking disgusting with a really, really leathery face and a really...
Where's that?
...rubbish haircut.
Oh, confused again with the Cotton Britain thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, it's got two biddies with new haircuts on, but they both look like biddies.
Yeah.
One's more biddier than the other, though.
Yeah, but she looks more biddier than Mirren.
Yeah, Helen Mirren is an old biddy.
She's got so much makeup on. Helen Mirren is she's a distinguished lady.
Yeah, I've seen her tits. Loads of times.
Get you.
Loads of times.
Alright. Okay, chill out. I need to get aggressive about it, Crispin. The tits.
Ooh, we'll take this up offline.
Right, so I've got this video magazine, and actually we've got quite... sorry, I'll repeat that without mumbling and running with my sentence. I bought this Biddy's magazine and it's got quite a few problems in it. I've got Dr. Pixie's Health Clinic, which is quite...
Is it Pixie Lott?
No, it's a weird woman called Pixie McKenna.
Is that Paul McKenna's wife?
Maybe. Maybe she's... There's some McKenna's from Neighbours. Is there?
Today.
Can't remember. Anyway, help!
I don't think it is Paul McKenna's wife. He hypnotised a fit bird to be his wife.
Is she not fit?
She looks like a pixie, actually. Funnily enough,
maybe she's a real life pixie.
She's got a well pixie face, and she's tiny.
Yeah. she's occupying the very smallest corner of that.
Yeah, look at that woman's a normal size,
and her head is about the size of her nose.
That's a child there. She's smaller than the child. She's a real pixie in real life. Amazing. Oh, okay, Dr. Pixie, help! I've got really embarrassing facial hair. I'm 52 and all my friends envy me as I sailed through the menopause at 49. However, I'm now left with bad facial hair in my moustache area and under my chin. That's not sailing through the menopause, that's having some bad hairs get out.
And then what stage do you like, your friends are like, you're doing really well with the early menopause. Fucking high five, everyone.
Look
awesome.
At you.
Yeah. I'm so glad you got the menopause. Oh,
yeah, exactly. You're doing so well with yours. How are you doing with yours? Oh, not so good. I could tell. Anyway, so she says, I have tried... Well, no, hang on. I pluck and shave, but tend to get ingrown hairs. You shave? Don't be shaving your face, lady. If you're a lady, you don't shave your face. That's the rules. That makes you
mad. How do you get to half a century old and not know that shit?
Exactly.
They're on commercials.
You never had any hairs. I think maybe this moustache has been growing all her life and she's never... Now she's got to the point where it's like a full-on man's moustache because she's never ever waxed. Girls have to wax their moustaches.
Really big, fat hairs like the size of your little finger.
So she says... Tusks. I've tried waxing at home, but that hasn't really helped either because she obviously can't do it properly. I've read of young women being offered tablets for this type of problem. Could I get something from my doctor? Dear Margaret... You're probably thinking of women who suffer from polycystic ovary syndrome when you mention tablets, and this, in your case, this won't be the problem as you're menopausal. And it's most likely that the... blah, 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 blah. If you have the funds, see a beautician for a professional wax. It is far superior to any carried out at home. But yeah, finally, where have you been for the past 52 years?
Maybe she's always living in all Paris and people really haven't, like, you know, said anything, and now it's just thicker. Terrible.
Yeah, anyway.
Okay, so your go.
Oh, I have the male perspective from Jeff Brazier, who I believe... Of course. I'm out of the mix on this thing, but he's Jay Goody's ex.
Father of his children. Father of her children.
Oh, safe. Well, Jafe.
They must be, like, getting to be looking older than him by now.
No, he is apparently eternally 12.
Yeah.
And they're not 12 yet, I don't think. Yeah.
He is 12 years of age.
So he is giving the most... I mean, this is just the absolute classic agony column here. I've been with my boyfriend for 2 years, and we only have sex once a week. It was every night at the start. How's he got off me? So Jeff, being the caring man that he is, opens with the gambit of possibly, if I'm going off a girl, I don't feel like I'm kissing or caressing her all the time at all. I have to think end of relations before because of a lack of spark in the bedroom. So Jeff is essentially endorsing his view. And he's like, however, at the start, there's always a lot of sex, and then afterwards it tails off, so it might be all right. But basically, we've got a bit of insight into Jeff's psyche there. It's like, basically, if I'm not into a girl anymore, I'll just start having sex with her. And then I'm that.
His current girlfriend's reading.
But someone else might be different. It's fine. Someone else is not me.
Yeah.
No, it's different. Don't worry, it's fine. You just tell them to, you know, just do different things.
Dr. Jeff.
Have you got some problems in the sun, don't you?
Yeah. Do you want me to read you Deirdre's photo casebook?
Oh, you've got the problems with everyone sitting around in their underwear having thought bubbles.
Actually, it's not a good one.
Okay, we'll do it anyway.
Alright, Dad and I are worried about your boyfriend. We've heard a lot about him. Please, Mum, you don't know him. It's my life and my choice, not yours. Her mum's almost got her tits out.
Hello.
And she don't look that young. She looks really old. Oh, no, that's her mum. Sorry, I've ruined it. Alright, so this is the next picture.
Later in the bedroom.
It's not later in the bedroom. I think they are in the bedroom, though. Maybe they're in the pub.
I hope so.
She's just gone down to her bra and knickers. The gossip has got back to my parents. They know all about you, even the prison stuff. And then her fella says, yeah, well, don't worry about it. What I do with my life is none of their business. And then we're back to the mum and dad.
The mum's got her cleavage on, Jerry.
Yeah, mega cleavage on the mum. Zoe's always been a good kid, and now she's throwing her life away after that yub. And then the think bubble that's coming out of her mum's head says he'll never bring Zoe happiness, but how can we make her see sense? Why did she just say that to her husband? Why is she thinking that bit in secret? He'll never bring Zoe happiness.
Do we have to wait for the next edition to see what happens next?
No, Deirdre's straight in with the response.
Oh, right.
I know it goes against the grain, but the best way to help Zoe wake up to what Alan is really like is to welcome him into your home.
What?
Really? I'm not sure that's... I don't know if I'd believe Deirdre in that one.
It's just going to nick shit off them.
Dear Dr. Pixie, I have noticed a very bad odour coming from my nose. It feels blocked and it has bled a bit. It's hard to know if the smell is from one side or both. I smoke 30 a day and I'm 46. Julie Essex.
Is the odour toast? You're having a brain hemorrhage. Go to the doctors.
Quick.
It's quite brave of her to write in, though, to get a week for a solution.
Yeah.
Exactly. But, I mean, I don't understand.
Well, it's quicker, though, isn't it? It's quicker than getting an appointment at the doctor's.
How can you know this?
Especially, yeah.
These days, eh?
These days, eh?
Hey. Don't start me on that.
I don't really even want to know about. I don't understand. I don't really want to know what Dr. Pixie has to say.
No.
Does anyone care?
Did you get the magazine with the weird doctor who says the thing?
Yes,
the
I've weird got thing it.
Where is it? I want to hear what he's got to say.
Okay, Dr. Phil. He says. Dr. Phil says, he always does a little quip. He does all these... He
like a thing in the middle, and it's always really weird.
Yeah, and this one...
He's a deranged man. What's he saying?
This time he says, an idiot isn't someone who makes a mistake, it's someone who keeps making the same one. Really?
It may well be a quip.
It's not as good as the anal sex
Einstein, fact, or anything, yeah.
Well, anyway, so yeah. There's someone says, dear Dr. Phil, I do lots of farts and have liquid poos.
What do you really do?
Hello, doctor. I do a water poo.
It doesn't smell funny.
Yeah.
It smells of asparagus.
And my wee smells like sugar puffs.
Advice.
Oh, he says, there is a comma to that. Comma, and my GP says I've got celiac disease. What is it? Why didn't you ask your GP?
Yeah.
Do you just want to show off about your liquid poos? You have to write into a magazine about it.
I'm sorry, Dave, you've got celiac disease. Right, thanks very much.
Thanks for your time, Doctor. Dr. Phil says celiac disease occurs when your gut overreacts to gluten found in foods made from wheat, barley and rye, blah, blah, blah. As well as loose poos, you can get stomach pains, bloating, tiredness and weight loss.
Have you done also spontaneity? Like, for example, walking at the doctor's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, come back. Shit, another one. Ah, oh, God damn you, celiac disease.
Doctor, I'm in a terrible rush. I've done a water poo. You might have a celiac disease. Okay, thanks, bye.
Shit.
Oh, what does it mean? What does it mean? I'll have to ask Dr. Phil. Put my pen to paper.
Alright, best pal hates me. Dear Deirdre, I lost my... hold on.
Keys,
I thought it said closet. I lost my closest mate when I got married.
Oh my God,
I lost my closest mate when I got married. He wanted to be my best man, but Mum made me ask my kid brother instead. We're both 25, and for years my pal has been just like a brother to me. The day I proposed to my girlfriend, I asked him to be my best man. He was really made up. He gave me a big hug and said yes straight away. Then we bummed. Then my mum went ballistic.
Did you say that?
No, I made that bit up. Then my mum went ballistic and said I should have asked my younger brother to do the job. Against my better judgment, I told my mate that my brother would do it instead. I could tell he felt really bad. I made him head usher, and he did a top job, but he hardly spoke a word to me all day. That was 4 months ago now, and our friendship just isn't the same. He said I've broken his heart. He told me he would always be there for me, but he didn't class us as best mates anymore. The fuck are these people?
People who want pretending to be out of Hollyoaks. That's what.
Would that even be a story on Hollyoaks?
Probably. Because it would be one of those things about, like, you've got to tell them that you can't. Or I don't want to talk about Hollyoaks. I hate it. It makes me angry.
Chester's finest. That kind of shit wouldn't stick in Chester, let me tell you. Someone that lives right by there, yeah. The
I know Chester myself, yeah.
The jilted not jilting, that's the entirely the wrong word. The spurned best man with his simmering resentment, ruining the ushering job, despite doing a good job. He's ruining it. In the background, it's there, you're like, ooh, something wrong with these ushers, I can't quite figure out.
He's probably going to be to blame for the collapse of the marriage, I'd imagine. And that is what Deirdre says as well.
What did she say?
That, she said, this is so sad. He sounds like a bit of a cunt, though. And if you dwell on it, it will be the collapse of your marriage.
Ideal.
Whatever happened to Carol Smiley?
She is, actually, I was in Edinburgh recently, and Carol Smiley is smiling advertising some form of Euro Million lottery. Because I was walking down the street, and there she was, emblazoned on the side of a double-decker bus.
Oh, I thought you were going to say in person, then. Oh, trying to sell you a lottery ticket on the corner. Buy a lottery ticket.
I'm Carol.
If she approached me like that, I'm like, oh, five, Carol. And how are you doing? She was smiling. She's literally,
I've seen her
on the back of
well.
The bus. What?
Yeah, she did. She did tits out modelling before she did daytime TV.
She's an attractive lady.
She's a very versatile, very versatile personality.
Someone should put this on the internet somewhere. Like a fortune.
That is where I saw them, in fact.
Yeah,
I didn't see them in real life.
I thought Carol was Smiley because this is Lorraine Kelly in here. They remind me they're the same, aren't they?
She used to be so good at breakfast.
Except Carol Smiley's never been fat and Lorraine has.
Yeah.
How is Lorraine now?
You can't tell it's in your mugshot.
Oh, is it the top down MySpace photo?
Yeah.
Nightmare.
She's doing a little bit of problem time on here, though. She's an agony aunt. And we've got this one from this woman called Emma. She says, I'm 34 and I'm still a virgin. Yikes.
Could be worse. Could be 35.
I was raised to believe that I should only lose my virginity to someone I love and who loves me unconditionally. And
blah,
I was taught this by the Hollywood movies. Yet I've never found that and I feel very lonely. I don't want to lose my virginity to one night stand. I've set up an online dating profile, but I haven't got any further with it. Sounds like you'd be hard pushed to find the one night stand in the first place.
Fucking hell.
Second date.
Sometimes I feel like it might be easier to stay this way. What should I do?
Have a wank?
She's probably doing a lot of that. Lorraine says, having waited so long, you don't want to have casual sex with the first man you meet.
Have a wank with a special glove on.
But I think you might have hidden behind being a virgin to avoid a mature relationship. That's a bit harsh.
Yeah, but cheers, Lorraine.
And therefore, has been very picky. It's very unlike... Oh, I read it wrong again. I always read the questions wrong in exams at school, and I've read this wrong. I've circled this because I thought I read... It's very likely when the time does come that your first sexual experience will result in the earth moving in multiple orgasms. Actually, she said, it's very unlikely.
Yeah.
I was like, why would you be telling her that? That's not what the first time's like at all.
It was for Lorraine.
Yeah. That's why she's got that smile on her face for the rest of her life.
That's why she's...
Well, to be fair, she's waited till she's 34. Then, you know... The chances are she's not going to be having sex with like a 16-year-old boy who's got fuck all idea.
She never had a boyfriend.
Although, isn't that maybe like in today's internet dating age more likely?
Does it make you think? What does she look like? Is she fat? Does that mean?
Yes and yes.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't do this. We shouldn't rest the judgment.
I can't imagine she's a massive fitty, like not massive as in fat fitty.
Massive.
I can't imagine she's really fitty.
Maybe she's a massive fitty though. That's a massive problem too, though. If she's massive and a fitty, it's like that's even more frustrating for her.
Yeah.
Like, God damn it,
I'm fit.
Yeah, like a 40-foot woman.
Why can't you reach me?
No, that's you know. I'm sure it's not.
She tried to have sex a couple of times, but then they just got lost out there. And died.
Still four boys in there.
Do you know that?
Happy, but trying to find
the
way out.
You know that's like a proper fetish, the giantess fetish.
Yeah.
And they do films there. I once downloaded a film, I wasn't looking for giantess porn, but I just downloaded a film, as you do. That one's got a funny title, download that one. And it was giantess porn, it was really, really weird.
This is a subgenre then, apparently, giantess porn.
Yeah. And there was a film, it was like total shit, you know, it was. really, really low budget with like the shittest wobbly special effects with just like giant women keeping men in jars and that, and then them trying to escape off the table and women going and then catching them, and then there'd be like their hand like going like that.
Well, what happened after that? Don't keep me on edge.
There wasn't actually any there wasn't any sex in it. Well, how could there be? You know, the men are like this big and
tiniest winkies in the world.
Yeah,
you know,
Well,
so the idea is simply that the idea of a giant woman would get you off, rather than, you know, today's porn is so explicit that seems quite romantic in a way. You know, it's like it was simple suggestion of pornography. That's quite nice. I mean, it's a bit weird, but.
Well, yeah, exactly. I can't remember who said this, but I'll stand by it. It's not pornography if I can't wank to it. And then you couldn't wank to this. It was just bad special effects, big women keeping men in jars.
That's probably supportive for that, though.
Yeah.
Well, then.
One more problem?
Yeah, have you got one?
Yeah. Dear Esther, this is a special one from Esther Ranson, guest agony aunting in. Should I claim for my injury? Dear Esther, I was stationary in my car at the traffic lights when another car smashed into the back of me. I suffered severe back pain and whiplash for months. Should I make a compensation claim? Esther says, I'm sorry to hear about your accident. If the accident wasn't your fault, then you should claim. It's very easy to do. Phone 0800 740 8892 and speak to an experienced advisor at the Accident Advice Helpline. And the amazing thing is that they've written back in the same issue of The Sun, they've managed to
How is that possible?
Respond.
That's time travel.
Yeah. Thank you, Esther. I picked up the phone and within minutes I discovered I could win substantial damages.
That's an advert, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Not even a real problem.
Should we cease and desist?
Yeah, probably. I've got the metro here. We have circled a couple of things in it. But I can't really talk about this because it's going to take too long. It's people's letters about the.
Oh, we're up to an hour.
I know. Can't really talk about it. But there are some extreme views. Maybe we'll discuss it offline. What do you reckon about that? But there's a little thing here where people do text these little good deed thank yous in, and there's a couple of funny ones because I don't really understand what they mean. This is Rona from Edinburgh saying, thank you to the person who handed my phone into the Gilded Balloon box office on Tuesday night. It was very much appreciated. What does that even mean? What's the Gilded Balloon box office?
Nobody knows.
No one knows. Gloria from Manchester says, thanks to Bill and Clive for helping carry my ensuite up all those stairs.
Metro was just London.
Metro is now nationwide.
It's in Bristol as well, and loads of big cities.
All the provinces.
But they'll have each town will have its own specifics in terms of the listings and stuff like that.
So that's all the good. That's nationwide.
That's the digest of the best deeds.
We've got
six.
Six good deeds
in the whole UK.
But those are the more choice ones. I mean, like, clearly, like, someone lost a hair clip and it was a turn, but then with the, you know, obscure gilded thing, that's clearly worthy of inclusion here.
Yeah. This one says, thanks to the customer / staff member who found my Topshop bag on Wednesday in Primark. It had some reward vouchers for one of my staff in it.
Well, my stuff. I mean, that's
shopping in Primark when you've got. You can shop in Topshop more easily. I don't know.
Yeah, you should go to the Primark. Oh, well, hold on. No, nothing.
And here's the sauce you want to finish on.
Yeah.
Thanks to Chris, my husband. He knows why.
Crumbs.
There we go.
Bringing the Viennetta up.
Right then. So that's probably the end of this. Terribly long edition, but we all had so much to say, and it was all pretty funny, I thought.
And there's our first review.
Well, you guys did most of the talking. It was a compliment.
I should have to assess that later on.
They might have a tab now.
The leather's hand. Yeah. Should we give some music to the...
Yeah, well, Nick was supposed to send me a thing. Oh, no, I downloaded it, didn't I? Yeah.
It's all right, it's not live, so we'll put it on later, yeah?
Yeah,
we'll give the illusion that, we are live. So we're going
to
play...
I should have prepared a thing to say,
shouldn't I? We're going to play...
It's an amazing band.
Well, don't say that about your own band, Crispin. It's a bit big-headed.
No, I was doing it with a sneer.
You can't see your sneer.
Self-deprecating sneer.
Sneer for the radio.
Alright, you do it then.
What? A sneer?
Yeah,
I can't do one of those. I'm not that sort of person.
Can you do one something real?
No. You can do one like Elvis. It's crazy. I mean, you had that talent. Can you do the eyebrow thing too?
No, what's the eyebrow thing?
Just lifting up an eyebrow on its own.
Like Roger Moore.
Yeah. Without squinting like a one-eyed pigeon.
It's possible.
Anyway, we've got this mega amazing band that Crispin's in. It's called Disco Bitch, and they've got a really good song called 6-4-5-er, isn't it? Well, that's what it says in the song. I wasn't sure if that's what it's actually called. It's a very good song, actually. I really like
it. We've got video on YouTube and everything. It's going straight in the pop charts at number naught.
Yeah, brilliant. It's very clever lyrics.
Ever so clever, yeah.
I think they are, but they're not you. I just wanted to do a compliment about it.
All right, end. Tab times.
Enough!
101, gone over an hour. Retarded.
It's all right, it was fun.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Hey, okay! Drink tonight, Jack, 6-4-5!